You're listening to a Bellingcat Discord server stage talk titled Exploring the Digital Profiles of Human Smugglers. This week we were joined on stage by my colleague, Bellingcat researcher Carlos Gonzalez. Carlos is also the research lead at Bellingcat, and this, surprisingly, was his first stage talk. During the talk, he talked us through his recent investigation into a TikTok profile claiming to be that of a smuggler's and explained the wider context to the online promotion of these types of services. You can find all of the links mentioned in the talk in the description of this podcast. The talk was hosted by me, Charlotte Marr, on Thursday the 23rd of May in the Bellingcat Discord server. Welcome to this week's stage talk. Today I'm joined by my incredible colleague and Bellingcat's research lead, Carlos Gonzalez. He's here to discuss one of our latest investigations into human smuggling. Longtime partners of Bellingcat, the Latin American Center for Investigative Journalism, or LCLIP, and Telemundo, organized a joint initiative of newsrooms looking into the issue of illegal migration through South America and into the USA. The now published investigative series is called Cargo Trucks, A Trap for Migrants. Please do check out the full series. Bellingcat's contribution to this series was a focus in on the use of digital platforms by so-called human smugglers or coyotes. Within our investigation, we came across one influencer on TikTok with 150,000 followers who claimed to be able to smuggle anybody into the US. But his story wasn't all it seemed to be. I'll pass on to Carlos in a second to tell you exactly why. But first, a short reminder, as I've just mentioned, during the talk, please put all of your questions into the chat and I'll ask them as we move into the Q&A section. Carlos, we're desperate to know more. So please, by all means, take the mic.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you very much for having me today. It's my first stage talk. So after all these years, I'm really excited about this. Coyotes, human smuggling, difficult topic to talk about, sometimes undercover as well, so underreported. I think my work has been essentially centered in visual investigations, geolocation, and in different parts of the world, so Africa and also Latin America. But I never worked before on human smuggling topics. So it happened, I think it was around September last year, that the director of the Latin American Center for Investigative Journalism, CLIP, we're talking about Maria Teresa Ronderos, approached me and then introduced me to a project that they were starting to work on. So it was a project coordinated by CLIP themselves and also Telemundo, which is part of NBC in the United States. Along them, other Latin American media organizations from Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, and Costa Rica were part of the project, and they invited me to actually take place on an investigation that they were going to do around cargo trucks, basically smuggling people from these Central American countries into the U.S. I don't know if you have heard about the problematic, but many people, probably something between 100, 200, even more people, are packed into the back of cargo trucks. And then after probably 10 to 24 hours, even 40 hours, confined into this backspace of the trucks, traveling in very inhuman conditions, very deplorable conditions, sometimes are abandoned on the way there. So basically either they are scammed or basically drivers who are transporting people got scared because they might actually be caught on the way there, and they abandoned the trucks with the people locked inside these confined spaces. You can imagine that people abandoned in the middle of the desert at high temperatures, in the middle of the day, can be really, really suffocating. There's a case of this young pregnant woman, 38 weeks pregnant, who was also inside of one of these drugs back in 2022. And she basically died, and along her, of course, you know, the unborn baby as well. So really, really tragic, you know, cases, incidents. And that's why the main motivation of the group of the consortium to try to actually like figure out how these networks, you know, work, trying to figure out the roots, draft some statistics, follow up on some of the accountability issues of each one of these cases, etc. So multiple topics that they were trying to understand more about, because, you know, they are not very documented, or at least there are no specific numbers or accountability on each one of them. So Maria Teresa from Clip told me, look, Carlos, you know, we would love Belinka to be involved in this project, and then try to see what can we actually talk about the networks behind this. So how people are convinced in getting into these drugs, for example, how much money people pay, who they pay, you know, for these services, etc. And of course, our angle is, you know, internet. So try to actually figure out, you know, what is going on the internet, etc. So four years ago, the different outlets, and including The Guardian, reporting on the role of social media platforms on, you know, in the general or broader sense of the word of the human smuggling into the US, in particular the advertisement of these type of services. However, my premise at the start was, because we are focusing on cargo trucks as a trap for migrants, so is there any sort of advertisement about, you know, services of being put inside a truck and then people sign up for it? Or how does this work? So then basically other members of the consortium did interviews, you know, to families or witnesses, and they collect information on their side. On my end, I was trying to sort of like find what there is online about it. So surprisingly, of course, there was no information about these kind of services being used on platforms like Facebook, TikTok, another. So what we found was a bit of what The Guardian, for example, was reporting in the past, very clumsy adverts in Facebook and in other platforms, very basic, a group of 5 to 10, you know, adverts functioning a bit of like a travel agency, like we help you to achieve your American dream. We have services by plane, sometimes by bus, etc. But something very nicely painted. So like this, a travel-less journey into the US, and we help you to achieve that. So very basic. So each one of the accounts sometimes have like a couple of hundred followers or so. And these accounts, you know, are sort of like recyclable. They appear and they go very easy. They don't stand there for a long time. So that's more or less the average type of account. People ask for information. Sometimes there are a couple of telephone numbers that are published, you know, on these adverts, and so on. Then what we started to notice is that some accounts have even testimonials of people talking about where they are, where they're heading to, and sort of like recommending the service from X person, and even disclosing the password that they have to actually transit through Mexico or through the United States. So that's sort of like the basic format, you know, and sort of like special cases when you have testimonials of people. None of these adverts that we initially found would talk about smuggling services in cargo trucks in particular. So they just either mention buses or airplanes, but that's it, no more details. The rest is a combination of what I mentioned, just testimonial, and sometimes as well, like showcasing how it works in terms of, for example, we cross you and someone is going to pick you up after you cross the border, and you can see a car moving fast and then collecting people, and then just, I think a bit of adrenaline situation to this. So people perhaps, you know, like they start to actually get excited about this and more confident in actually perhaps contacting that particular coyote or a smuggler and proceed with a payment perhaps. And that's a problem, because you don't know which one of these services are real and which one of these services are a scammer. So then you know, because I was trying to actually like get an edge on the cargo truck situation, I kept actually investigating this. But you know, changing, for example, like combination of words, you know, on my searches, keywords, etc., and I came across actually people responding to questions or surveys about having actually traveled by trailer. So you can imagine someone running a poll like, "Hey, who of you have traveled on cargo trucks? Do you remember? Do you share my experience?" Surprisingly, only with two posts of this, 1,500 people started to actually say, me, myself. My travel lasted 24 hours. My travel lasted this. We were urinating on each other. I traveled with my 6-month old baby, etc. So horrible experiences being shared on TikTok based on that simple poll of someone asking, you know, who traveled by trailer. With all this, we encounter also video testimonials of people actually narrating, you know, the experiences, how they were abandoned in the middle of the desert. We couldn't actually, of course, verify this testimonial, but it started actually telling us that there's something here. There's people here that who indeed have actually traveled. But again, what my question still remains, is there someone offering these services? Keeping searching for this, I found other adverts and other accounts related to this. And then suddenly, as you mentioned it before, I hit an account that was very peculiar that I hadn't seen before. As I mentioned earlier, the average account had probably just a couple of hundred followers, maximum 1,000 followers, and they didn't last on time. But this new account that I found with the searches included 150,000 followers, which is a huge scale in relation to others. The main difference with this account to the others as well is that there wasn't a very explicit sort of like advert offering the services as the other accounts that we initially found. For example, we help you with the travel, or we take you from point A to B, for example. Now, this account was more about a narrative, a story. So messages sort of like implicitly included in the videos that this guy was generating. So I'm talking about 1,000 videos in within a year of different material, for example, that were sort of alluding to a smuggling service by including testimonials of people. So as I initially mentioned, people saying that we are, for example, here at Houston, Texas, we have arrived at our destination. My password is X, and thank you to Maldonado for his services. Like that, many others, dozens of these, including minors, actually traveling solo, and then, you know, being presented in front of a camera and saying these kind of scripted messages. That's what one part of the narrative. The second part of the narrative was, I am better than the others. I offer a superior service, something that we didn't see before, like a sort of like competition. And then people complain that I'm more expensive, but this is why. And then he sort of like made jokes about people getting caught traveling, etc. The other aspect of this, and this is totally new to what other media organizations have reported before, is the sort of like branding that this person is doing with the whole narrative in this Coyote account by including something new, which is music. So we have Maldonado commissioning or getting music dedicated to him with specific lyrics about his biography, how he became a Coyote, why he's better than others. And not only that, giving specific details of his alleged smuggling, you know, operation. And then you can clearly see that he talks about trailer trucks being deported from X town to X town, etc. And the music, you know, that is incorporated is called corrido music, which is something that is very, very, very attached to the border culture, and that has been used by what we call narco culture. It is known by narco culture associated with cartels, music associated with cartels, etc. and which has an influence, of course, in younger generations and all this. So we sort of like see that Maldonado then started to create this brand and sort of like decriminalizing the figure of the coyote and tried to make it appealing for the type of audience that he's chasing, for example. So we sort of like see a sort of like an influencing aspect on this. So what is this guy looking for? He's not actually explicitly offering a service, but the whole narrative is aligned, you know, with this. And not only that, he's just creating a brand. So we consulted with different experts about what this could be, because of course, you know, for us it's new, and with only open source, it's very difficult to understand this. But according to experts, you know, they are studying, you know, the situation at the border and human trafficking and these issues along the border. They are saying that perhaps these have to be with a sort of like creation of a marketplace could be an option. So where people come and then start to interact, it could be a way of influencing that. Perhaps, you know, there are some links with other cartels, other coyotes, and then try to direct that traffic towards something else. You can clearly see that the narrative that is being put forward in this TikTok account, 150,000 followers, many people are reacting to these videos by inquiring for information. I want to be smuggled. I want information. Please, what is the number? So people are reacting to this narrative. So it is then when we decided to interview Maldonado, and surprisingly, then he then acknowledged that he indeed was offering services like this, but he didn't charge, just for free. So then it's when we started to ask, like, sort of like, this doesn't add up. And then we, of course, because we're experts in geolocation, we confronted him with one specific question about his whereabouts. So he all the time posted videos of allegedly being by the Rio Bravo or Rio Grande at the border and sort of like with a walkie-talkie, sort of like coordinating an operation, or allegedly or alluding to that. But there was something that didn't add up. And then we just sort of like started to see like what the background vegetation that he got here is more of a mangrove, you know, and it's not the typical vegetation that you would expect, you know, at the border with the United States. And let me just share here my screen. Just 1 second. Here, for example. So we started to actually like follow him, you know, on social media, his personal profile and so on. And we started to find out that he was picturing Florida in these particular points, you know, in other pictures. But then in particular, the one that he's saying that is Rio Bravo, we asked our GAP member community to actually give us a hand with these initial clues that we had here. And then we found him that he was here in this particular point in a marina and not at the Rio Bravo as he was suggesting in his narrative. So there is something really not adding up in here. Why this person is saying that he's at Rio Bravo, why this person is creating this narrative, making, you know, people believe that he's at the border, creating music, etc. So it's there's a big question here, and that we challenge him with those questions when we interviewed him with the help of our partner Clip. And we were surprised by his answer. So basically, he acknowledged that, you know, like, yeah, so I help people. He explained that when he was younger, he was smuggled and he was abandoned in the desert. And he promised himself that he was going to actually help others to cross the border. We asked him very specifically if he asked for permission to drug cartels to actually do this operation. And he said like, no, I don't ask for permission. He uses a sort of like password or a keyword in his account, which is Omega 41. As you know, many people hiring these smuggling services and trying to actually cross into the United States, they have to have this password once they start to release, you know, their payments and so on, to make sure the drug cartels are not going to kidnap them or are going to extortion them, etc. And then he uses this Omega, and everybody who gave testimonials, you know, on his TikTok account will actually refer to this keyword all the time and every time. So yeah, thank you very much, Maldonado. My password is Omega 41 and some other. So we asked in particular about this keyword. And then we received like 5 minutes silence. And then he just said, like, I cannot answer. So totally a mysterious, you know, way of handling this. So we really don't know. We couldn't actually verify what is actually behind this account. But there's something here that doesn't add up. And we, for example, according to the experts, we are trying to understand if indeed that is a marketplace, for example, that could be sort of like influencing people either to decriminalize the figure of the coyote or trying to redirect traffic somewhere else, etc. We asked him if he was monetizing the account somehow, and he replied no. So, this is just sort of like the frame and the details of, you know, how the story evolved. And this became, you know, a part of one of the series of publications that we did, not only dedicated to social media, but also as other investigations, you know, were by product of the main story about the cargo trucks trapped for migrants, talking about different issues, also talking about the methodology that the rest of the group also follow to do the interviews, to do the findings, to chase, you know, a bit of the state of the accountability process in all these incidents that have happened in throughout Mexico when people are smuggled using cargo trucks.
Thank you so much, Carlos, for breaking down the investigation and the series as well itself. It's absolutely fascinating. And I want to get on to Maldonado himself in a little bit, but we had a few questions about the general trend of smugglers themselves first. And I wanted to start off just by asking, why do you think smugglers are using TikTok specifically for promoting their services? And is it just TikTok? Did you analyze any other platforms itself for these kinds of adverts? Or were you only focused on TikTok itself?
No, we did a big survey, you know, across different platforms. So to understand the reach and also the engagement, sort of like try to understand the organic engagement of people with this kind of adverts. Definitely it's not only TikTok, Facebook. We also did a service in some other networks called Quay, even YouTube, Telegram. What we noticed is more a consistent pattern in TikTok. So they were more replicated in different ways. So also the way TikTok is being used, not only for offering these kind of services, but to recruit other coyotes, or other what they call, you know, human hookers, let's say, but not in the other sense of the word, but how to actually, you know, when you actually arrive in a bus terminal and then you have got people offering you like the, you know, like fun packages in terms of like visit a touristic site or, you know, a landmark, etc. So you got also these kind of recruiters that approach you and say, look, I got someone who can cross you into the United States. So that is the traditional way perhaps that you come across of these kind of recruiters. But then TikTok is being used as well to recruit those recruiters as well. So there we found announcements of this. So TikTok has different use right now for this activity, not only to allow these adverts to happen, but also allow the migrants to also express themselves and then give the testimonial. So we found that contrast also interesting. So it is then when we decided to actually focus more on TikTok, because we found more different cases, even adverts targeting minors to travel solo. So we basically read, you know, adverts which actually said, mothers with children or children on their own. And then you can see people, I'm a minor, can I you know, like asking for questions on the platform. We saw a couple of those examples as well. So yeah, different type of adverts, different type of targeting, and definitely not the only one, but one that is being really popular and I think is becoming sort of a trend. We contacted TikTok to, you know, with Maldonado's account, and then they analyzed and then they took it down. They expressed that, you know, the way this is analyzed is manually. So basically, like, they have to actually like get a report and basically just get hold of this. But and then they acknowledge also the challenge of the languages as well with this team. So there are specific teams dedicated to actually run through accounts manually, and language could be a challenge.
Yeah, I was about to flag that that TikTok had actually taken his account down. So thank you for giving that context. But yeah, I think it's really interesting that particular platform is being used, particularly with the age range of people who are consuming media on that platform as well. As you mentioned, you found some adverts that were targeting minors. Sarah, who's one of our lovely mods in the chat, has asked, my understanding is the vast majority of migrants are from Central and South America, but there's also people from Africa, Pakistan, etc. Are the ads that Carlos is talking about posted in Spanish or other languages as well? I'm curious to know if the coyotes are internationalizing their services. So is this something that you suspect is very localized to South America, or perhaps is it something that other open source researchers might be able to look into in terms of different languages and different regions of the world?
Definitely. There's a scope to explore, you know, what other languages might actually be, you know, these are being posted to. So something that I came across during the investigation, as rightly pointed by Sarah, there are different like sort of like tiers in terms of like what is the target, you know, for people to be smuggled, and also the price that you charge for that. So we're talking about a couple of thousands for people from Central America, but up to $40,000 for something coming from East Asia, for example. So, and also from Uzbekistan as well. So they're actually being smuggled into the US, and also from China. So we're talking about a lot of money, you know, that these people charge to these, you know, sort of like targets. And we didn't explore other languages, but definitely there's scope to investigate what sort of like other traps there are for other regions.
And, in the article, you spoke to a couple of experts about Maldonado's specific account, but perhaps we could just give a little breakdown into what we suspect the purpose of Maldonado's account was, and what experts were saying in response to kind of the case that you presented them.
Yeah, it was a tricky one. So according to the experts, they gave different options. With open source only, of course, it is impossible to understand, you know, like, you know, what is the ultimate purpose of that, even challenging, you know, Maldonado himself. So there's a clear sort of like narrative into make you believe that he's a real thing, that he's the coyote, right? So I think the main thing here is just, it could be individual, so, or could be also the way to influence others or preparing the grounds for, you know, selling products later on. So he might be interested in actually like selling something later, but he just creating that sort of like community or marketplace, as the expert indicated, to either offer something more extra. So we're talking something that is significantly different to the rest of the accounts that we were actually like coming across, or that have been reported by the Guardians and others. So we believe that there's definitely something behind it. He all the time expressed that, you know, like in some of the messages, that the money I charge more. So he and then when we interview him, he says like, no, I don't charge. So there's here something that doesn't add up in that sense. So why is the real purpose of the account? We couldn't actually figure out with the evidence available so far. But something that is important is just the shift in trend of only having a clumsy advert to something like this. Whether is that connected to a drug cartel or not, to a real smuggling operation, whether he's influencing to pass or direct traffic of inquiry to someone else, we couldn't actually prove that in the time scale and the evidence that we had. But definitely something that should actually be monitored, not only him, but whether other accounts like these are actually started to actually pop in. And the main, we need to understand that there's something that reported in the New York Times reported back a couple of years ago about the shifting and interest of drug cartels into the smuggling services. And we need to bear in mind that social media is a free advertisement for anything. So drug cartels realize that human smuggling could be profitable and sometimes even more profitable than drugs themselves into this, given the restriction and actually people actually crossing to the United States. So we need to be really vigilant of what is going on online, because there might be a component of this that actually can actually go against all the traditional ways the smuggling services normally happen. So maybe these are not the real coyotes, but maybe the industry is interested in generating this kind of content so people believe this is the way, et cetera, or make contact or consume other products associated with the activity. It's a huge industry generating millions of dollars for criminal organizations.
And just to clarify, Maldonado claimed to work alone without the help of drug cartels or criminal cartels. Is that correct?
Yeah, we explicitly asked him whether, you know, he asked for permission or pay something to cartels. Like, no, I don't ask for permission, but, you know, I'm on my own, etc. So, yeah, he negated, you know, any connections to drug cartels as such.
We've had a couple of people mention in the chat that there has been instances of these kinds of adverts in Europe. So JF001 says a similar investigation was done in Europe with what we call passers, or the people who organize migrant trips on lifeboats. Similar tactics are used with ads and now TikTok accounts advertising their services. And they've linked a couple of articles from the BBC to Catch a Scorpion and from RTE Data Sources, TikTok and People Smugglers, which is a documentary. Definitely worth checking this out. It sounds like this is a quite a vast experience from a lot of different regions of the world, which is really, really interesting. Dai asked earlier, when in reference to the survey that you were looking at, did the people who initially responded to your survey use pseudonyms, or were their accounts easy to link to real people?
Do you mean the poll of actually who traveled by trailer? You mean so like no that poll was not done by us. So we didn't do that poll. It was a question that was posed by someone on TikTok. You know, have you traveled by trailer? It just happened that we found that poll through searches on TikTok, and then we realized of people actually replying to it, but we didn't carry that survey or that poll. For us, was a way to understand how the platform is working both ways. So for smugglers to recruit people, to recruit, you know, other coyotes, also to offer the services, but also for migrants that had experience to share how horrible the experience was and alert perhaps others not to do the same or to be vigilant on that. So although we couldn't confirm these cases, you know, the common denominator that we found was that people traveling on trailers are not told that they're going to be put in a trailer or in a cargo truck. So they basically don't tell you anything. The smuggler don't tell you anything. They actually sometimes expressed that they were actually sent to some warehouses, and all of a sudden a cargo truck, you know, pops up, and they're just like packed. 200 people inside these confined spaces and then transported, you know, for 40 hours, and all of a sudden abandoned in the middle of nowhere. So, they're not told at any point during the hiring the services, etc., that they're going to be put in these conditions.
Yeah. And maybe it'd be interesting to learn a little bit more about what are in the traditional adverts in terms of what is shown to people. If you could just break down that a little bit further, what kind of transportation is kind of advertised to people, because Countess actually asked, did you find ads for other transportation options like airlines? There was news of airlines exploiting migrants by charging an absurd amount in charter-like flights. So do the adverts at all kind of showcase any transportation methods, and are they often falsified?
Yeah, on Facebook, we found out, you know, many of them actually offering services even from Cuba, Peru, or Ecuador, and which includes, you know, travel by airplane, landing in Mexico, and then they don't specify how, but they it's sort of like alluding to a terrestrial, you know, like transfer by car or by bus sometimes. Sometimes specifically they tell you that they're going to actually transport you by bus in private buses or coaches. And they give you the number, WhatsApp number, they put you a picture of the coach, etc. So even by car, private car, they mention, but there's nowhere any reference about cargo trucks or whatsoever. So they never tell you this kind of thing. So, but there are definitely other transport modes, yes. There are different packages and different tiers for this. So they could be even VIP packages that include even, you know, a stay in a hotel in Mexico, and then, you know, security houses, etc., with food. And it could be like, no, we're just going to walk. So kind of thing. So there are different tiers.
Will C has asked, even though he claimed to work alone, did you find any connections between Maldonado and other smugglers or suspicious accounts? Did you have a look into kind of who Maldonado's friends list were on TikTok, for example, and have a look at any possible connections there?
Yeah, of course. So like we did that, and you know, we tried to sort of like narrow down to see any connections with sort of like organized crime or whatsoever. However, you know, like there was not a clear, you know, like traceable, you know, like nuggets of information that could actually help us to conclude on that. Remember that the way that these networks work, if he is actually indeed related to any network, everything is very recyclable. There are no traces or telephone numbers. You know, there are some other accounts that, you know, they use, and then they close it after they coordinate a trip. We came across some accounts, for example, they said, like, look, I have a crossing next Sunday, and then give some reference to it. People ask information about it. I have 2 seats, for example, for the next trip. And we came back to the same account after a couple of weeks and it's gone. So there's no way that you can actually trace more about it. We definitely, the easiest way that we, or the connection that we did with some of the other accounts as well, like when there was a telephone number, you sort of like do the footprint tracing of that telephone number, and then you land on people that doesn't seem to have any, for example, luxury life, for example. They are not like, they are coordinating a massive operation, which might be an indication they could be scammers. So they are simply posting things online, and then you're just scamming people, whoever actually falls for it and so on. But beyond that, you cannot find more. But that is just the way that everything else is handled, how everything is handled, because it's a very clandestine industry. And that's one of the surprises that we came across with Maldonado, that he was sort of like releasing too much, showing himself too much. Experts, you know, sort of like classify Maldonado's account as a very cartoonish version of what real smuggling services are. And that's why we struggle to actually see the you know, what is the real purpose of the account. We definitely were really keen to understand who he's connected to and so on, but there's further scope for that, not only for his account, but any other that actually we might actually come across with.
In terms of Maldonado's account as well, he had like 2 different types of videos, right? He had the videos of himself kind of with kind of a backdrop with a walkie-talkie in hand. And then he had kind of videos that didn't feature him that showcased kind of smuggling efforts, let's say. Did you trace any of the kind of smuggling efforts back to anything in particular itself? Or was it just based on the geolocation of the videos with him in the background?
Yeah, so we sort of depleted the options to try to understand, you know, like the operation. So the first one that we did, thank you to the volunteer community, the GAP community, is this one as I mentioned. So there were like 50 videos more or less of him trying to, you know, like make you believe that he was by the Rio Grande or Rio Bravo, holding a walkie-talkie, talking about how many are you crossing, I'm ready, even at night, simulating, you know, like smuggling situations in secrecy. And just, you know, caused me curiosity to see actually where he was indeed. And that's how, with the help of GAP, so we managed to, you know, find him in Florida, actually. He was talking about these floating barriers being put, you know, in Rio Bravo, when these barriers are no barriers, are just like, you know, like a divider, you know, in a marina in Florida. So then in this particular example, he was saying that he found this border patrol and he was going to take over this border patrol. But then when we revised the audio is from a drug cartel communication case that was published on YouTube 9 years ago. So we managed to actually like trace that. And this kind of thing. So also what I mentioned to you about the branding, et cetera, we just try to understand that a bit more. We try to understand the sort of like arrogancy or, you know, like attitude towards drug cartels, saying that, you know, I'm passing by the drug cartels and nothing happened to me. Like sort of like alluding to a type of immunity that he got in front of this. He did the same also with videos alluding a crossing through the border and then border patrol not doing anything on him. So yeah, that kind of things. And, you know, ultimately the music, we try to actually trace the music as well, try to see what elements we could actually find with that. But it was difficult. So the fact that he was revealing details in his music, saying that I traffic people every day, I do it, you know, by with trailers, etc., was something that we were really keen, because it was related to what the main topic that we were investigating, which is like smuggling by trailers. We had testimonial of people being transported in the cabin, not in the cargo section, but in the cabin of trailers, probably a dozen of those videos. But again, nothing came out of it. Product of the footprint tracing, we spotted details in his account of people giving these testimonials, and then we suddenly realized or identified the people that were featured in these testimonial videos, and we tried to contact them to get more information. However, we didn't receive any reply, and of course, because of the protected identities, we are not mentioning any details, you know, right now or in the story. But there's something that we were really keen to, you know, to do, and then talk to them to understand whether Maldonado is real and what is all this about and how much money they pay, etc. So we're still trying to get hold of them to see if they can speak to us and then see. But yeah, so but that is as far as the footprint tracing took us, trying to see, find some people that could actually talk to Clip and other, you know, regional partners and to get more information. But this is sometimes the way open source work as well. So it has its limitation in terms of data. And then that's how partnerships and other media could actually help us to sort of like close the loop where open source can go.
Thanks for the further breakdown. Please do read the full investigation if you haven't already. It's on our website. You've only got 15 minutes left, so if you have any further questions, please pop them in now. Meryl actually asked earlier about what it was like working with so many local partners. As you mentioned at the beginning, this was part of a much larger series. Do you feel it had more impact because it was part of a huge series of different publications? And what was it like trying to coordinate so many different stories all at once?
Yeah, definitely was super exciting to work with different partners and colleagues from other countries, listening to their perspective. Remember that when we are reporting in other regions, we might have, you know, an idea and then we can investigate the subject, but also having the local perspective always help. Also understanding some of the slang that you're reading about, etc., is always very, very helpful. To count on the expertise as well and experience that they have in reporting these topics, because they are more familiar with these because they live this on a daily basis, basically, and get more information. The information about the drug cartels, for example, I remember that Maldonado refers to La Patrona, and we were trying to figure out what La Patrona means in that. So is that the boss? Is the drug cartel boss, etc.? Is his wife as well? So we were trying to understand that a bit more.
But yeah, so yeah, as you can imagine, of course, you know, like the challenges that normally the more people are involved, the more complicated to coordinate everything. But it was really smooth. So Telemundo and Clip were the coordinators of the project, and they kept us, you know, on the loop all the time, and then, you know, like in an organized way to deliver, you know, and then meet the deadlines with everything. It is really interesting because, as I'm saying, open source, you know, all the time cannot offer you like the whole scope. So it has its limitation. We have to acknowledge this. And you see this in Bellingcat all the time, where we say, like, look, this is the evidence. We contrasted, we ask experts. Having that local knowledge as well help us to sort of like corroborate that. It would have been difficult to report on Maldonado if we couldn't actually interview him, for example. So, and these kind of things. Ideally, we could have even interviewed him, you know, in person, if possible, if the time scale would have allowed that, and he would have allowed that. But these kind of things are not possible when you don't have a regional partner. So it was really good. And also the fact that Telemundo is a United States media can give us also another perspective. They even had the chance to drop a question in an interview to the president of Mexico. The next day, the whole publication series, you know, was released, and López Obrador admitted of the existence of these criminal networks, you know, smuggling people, etc. And of course, he just sort of like said that all this wouldn't exist if the United States would actually help, etc., and then regulate the immigration policy, etc. But we had the chance to actually challenge, you know, the Mexican president with this, you know, the findings of the whole series of investigation, and that is also thanks to, you know, having local partners as well. So all in all, a really good experience, and I'm all the time keen to work with regional. So we have done, you know, a partnership with Reuters. We also have other partners in Colombia as well, all the time keen to do this kind of work with other regional partners.
So you talked about the impact there in terms of it featuring a question to the Mexican president. ASAP asks, as you mentioned that there are a lot of information exists around different ways to smuggle people, was this information shared with law enforcement to justify and trace those people who posted this information?
In this occasion, we just limited ourselves to TikTok. For example, to report Maldonado and TikTok, no reports, like we just flag it up, like, look, what is this account? And we just were looking for an explanation of that account, where that goes in line with TikTok's policy. And to our surprise, like in a couple of hours after we submitted the right of reply from TikTok, then the account was gone. So it clearly, you know, contained some material that goes against, but so far we couldn't prove any wrongdoing with Maldonado's account to actually like report that to law enforcement, for example, if that, or publish about it, because we couldn't. With other stories, might be different later, but there's a continuous monitoring of what we were doing in terms, for example, there's these big questions of many people that we interview talking about warehouses where they were actually kept, where they were actually transferred. We mapped, you know, routes of, you know, that were used, you know, by these trailers. Ideally, and I have some ideas in mind, perhaps in the future, to try to track where these hubs are located. So right now, brainstorming as to what, and then perhaps then this could have, you know, for the impact. Right now, it was the second approach that I do to human smuggling, you know, here at Bellingcat, definitely something that I'm interested on. And then that we keep working and see what else we can find.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the other publications. Most of the other publications are in Spanish. Is that correct? So like if people want to read them, they may need to...
Some of them were translated. So I can try to find a link just now. So some of them were translated, principally the main story, which was probably by Telemundo. So that's one that was translated. But yeah, so we can share it right now in the chat in a few minutes. Let me just find that link. But yeah, so the main story, which is the one, there's a mini documentary about the investigation. It's not mini documentary, a full documentary. It's almost an hour. And then you can actually visit and then watch also in English, which is, you know, the main situation with the traffic of people by trailer. You can find here on this website the whole, where is the chat, sorry? Here is. So there you go. It's the website from the clip. And there you can find all the series of publications that we did, including the main one, which is called A Cargo Truck Trap for Migrants. And then it will actually link you to the main documentary, etc.
And if you're listening to this on the podcast version, the links will be in the description of the podcast. You've literally only got 10 minutes left. So if you have any last minute questions, please put them in the chat right this second. Meryl asked again, during these types of social media investigations, do you interact with the accounts at all, following people or commenting to express interest, for example? So with Maldonado, you've already said we spoke to him to kind of verify a few things for right of reply. But do you usually, when you're snooping on potential adverts or potential accounts, suspicious accounts, do you ever interact with them on the platform itself, or do you kind of keep a distance?
No, so we are Bellingcat and me, you know, in particular, so we have a non-touch policy. So I'm really keen in keeping that, you know, because it's open source information and it's our approach. We, by actually working with partners which are dedicated to do traditional journalism, we're the ones who started to actually contact them. So I just collected information in terms of telephone numbers, digital footprint. We just wrote a report and then we decided, you know, which was the best person to contact or the way we contact them. But no, I didn't contact anybody. I don't follow anybody, etc.
I just want
very passive research.
Yeah, I just want to flag that if you are planning to do any open source research, particularly on social media, I would definitely recommend creating a research account as well that's separate from your actual accounts, so that you're not using anything that could connect back to you. Very important. Jane asks in the chat, were you able to determine any information indicating how many people successfully found passage via the advertised services you investigated? For example, did you find out if Maldonado actually did traffic anybody?
So we were close, and we wanted to see, because he had probably something around 50 videos of people or testimonial of people saying that we are here, we already arrived, we are safe, etc. And we found two cases of people that we managed to identify and that we wanted to talk to. But in those two cases, they were successfully crossed, but then they were deported. So then the crossing is successful, but the coyotes normally cross you and then don't have to actually do with anything else that's going to happen afterwards. So so if you, there are different modes, perhaps, you know, that's entering into another discussion, but you can actually then claim for asylum, or you can actually ask the coyote to cross you with actually declaring, so you go all the way hidden. So, those who go and then ask for asylum, then they might actually turn away, you know, within hours, weeks, months, but you know, that can happen. So in these two particular cases that we managed to identify people, they were deported back to their house. They had their home. So there were other things that we actually found online on TikTok, people actually saying that they traveled, like in the surveys that I mentioned, in the polls, the people that were actually saying this. I can tell you that people that said, like, yes, I traveled by trailer, and now I'm in Georgia, I'm in Florida, I'm in New York. And so, like, you can see more or less established perhaps like an statistic trend from that sample. 1,500 people replying that they were smuggled by trailer. Out of those, X amount, you know, are in the United States. So, but we couldn't confirm each one of those cases, unfortunately. So just, we were trying to actually reach to them, but we remember that perhaps they are very skeptical of actually talking, and I mentioned whether they're still there and then give more details than that, etc.
Maybe as a final question to end out, as you mentioned, this was a new kind of topic for you actually to investigate. If anybody listening is thinking about diving into this topic themselves using open source research techniques, what would your advice be for someone who's kind of new to this area?
Yeah, so right now I explore the topic in Spanish only. And then, of course, it's very, very crucial to get familiar with the sort of like blurb, you know, in Spanish, that the words that are being used by the advertisers to start actually getting these adverts and understand, you know, how they're going to actually pop in your searches. Understanding also these narco-culture things will might actually help you to land on networks or clusters, try to understand, you know, the gang culture along the border, etc., that might actually lead you somewhere. That's one particular, you know, idea that I'm trying to explore. But yeah, so to get on board on social media, you need to be familiar with the language that is being used, that will actually start to open you the possibility of actually at least seeing how this looks like. Unfortunately, I cannot actually show you the adverts or the accounts that we didn't do in the story, because otherwise we will be promoting his account, even the music. I could actually explain the lyrics, you know, and the translation and so on. So we are constraining ourselves, you know, not to actually boost, you know, give a boost to Maldonado in that sense for whatever he's doing with this material. But definitely what I would recommend is just that get familiar with the language, with the lexicon, and then just start yourself exploring this.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Carlos, for your time. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And we will be back with another Stage Talk in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be speaking about starting out in open source research, actually, which is really fun and something that might be a nice follow-on to this one. So thank you so much for joining. Michael C's just put, I think what Carlos is saying applies to a lot of what we do, where we focus on stories, contexts, out that are rooted in very specific subcultures of terminology that's different. I think
so. Thank you, Michael. Yes.
And that's a nice one to end
on. He's an expert, because I talked to Michael in particular, because this is on an online ideology, you know. So this demystification of the coyote, or decriminalize the coyote figure. That's something that perhaps it could become a trend, and that's also, you know, something important to monitor.
So basically, if you want to do this kind of research, flock to Michael Colvin's side and ask him tons of questions about online ideologies. Thank you so much again, everyone, for joining. And I'm going to end the Stage Talk now. And this will be live on podcast platforms over the weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Stage Talk. If you'd like to catch a Stage Talk live, where you can ask the guest questions, join the Bellingcat Discord server by visiting www.discord.gg/Bellingcat. The music you've heard is titled Dawn by Newer Self and is courtesy of Artlist.